Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This episode is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Iran. Now, Iran's not a country that I've covered before on the channel, so we'll have a little look at the background of Iran, where it's located, how large it is, and then we'll talk about the problems that Iran has encountered. So Iran is not classified as a country in the Western world and therefore is not partaking in the sanctions against Russia. So you would expect that Iran would be doing quite well at the moment, that they could develop their relations with Russia further. However, Iran itself is still under sanctions from various issues in the past. So although it's an oil-rich nation and it's got some of the largest oil and natural gas reserves in the world, it's actually struggling economically and it's a net importer. So we'll go through all of those factors. We'll have a look at what reserves it has and we'll have a look at the problems that it's had being able to monetize all of that. But specifically why I wanted to talk about Iran today is that they've started encountering civil unrest and riots as a result of an increase in bread prices. So this is a food-related matter. And it's interesting that when we've talked about all the other countries around the world who are having problems right now, it's predominantly food that's bringing everything to the fore. That's what's causing people to protest and riot and potentially could see a lot of change of governments as a result of increase in food prices. So it's not gasoline and all of the other issues that you might expect would cause this. It's food. It's a basic requirement for life. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters, so if there's a part of this video that you're not interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, and YouTube Super Thanks feature. Iran is a country in the Middle East that's bordered by Armenia, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and Turkey. It also has large expanses of coastline bordering onto the Caspian Sea in the north and the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman in the south. The capital and largest city in Iran is called Tehran. Iran is a mountainous and dry country which consists of a central desert plateau ringed on all sides by mountain ranges that allow access to the interior through high passes. Because of its mountainous terrain, the majority of the country is above 1,500 feet and one-sixth of it is over 6,500 feet. The majority of the 88 million population live around the edges of the dry, waterless interior. Because of its mountainous terrain, Iran's climate ranges from subtropical to subpolar. Iran was formerly part of the Persian Empire and Persia is the predominant and official language of Iran. As with a lot of other Middle Eastern countries, Iran has a lot of natural resources and is sitting on huge reserves of oil. If you look at the list of the countries with the largest oil reserves in the world, Iran comes in at number 4 and holds around 9% of all of the global reserves. So the only countries that have more oil than Iran are Canada with around 10%, Saudi Arabia with around 17%, and number one on the list is Venezuela with close to 18% of the natural oil reserves. Interestingly, Russia comes in at number 6 on the list with around 6% of the world supply. And the USA is 9th with about 4% of the global oil reserves. And in terms of quantifying the amount of oil reserves that Iran is currently sitting on, it's estimated that the oil fields hold around 158 billion barrels of oil. And if you think that the price of oil is currently sitting at around about $100 per barrel, that would equate to around $15.8 trillion worth of oil. And that compares to the USA, which is currently sitting on around 69 billion barrels of oil, which equates to around $6.9 trillion at $100 per barrel. So Iran is sitting on a gold mine in terms of its oil reserves. But the problem that the country has is that it's facing a variety of sanctions from most countries around the world. And these sanctions have been in place for a long period of time. And the problem with these sorts of sanctions is that it's stopping any external investment from being made into Iran. And when you're looking at oil and setting up oil drilling facilities, it's very capital intensive. It requires large amounts of money and also the expertise to be able to do it. And so most countries around the world that have drilling facilities collaborate with the oil majors. And this is something you'll be familiar with if you've been following the channel, because in Russia they have a lot of collaborations with the oil majors. So if we now talk about the countries who produce the most oil, so this isn't the amount of reserves, this is actually production. Right at the top of the list at the moment is the USA, producing over 11 million barrels of oil per day. And a close second and third are Russia and Saudi Arabia, that are both producing over 10 million barrels per day. Iran, which as we just discussed, has the fourth largest amount of reserves, is actually number 10 on the list right now and is only producing around 2.5 million barrels per day. So that means that Iran is producing less than 3% of all of the oil that's produced each day, even though it's sitting on reserves of more than 9%. And this is entirely due to the fact that it's being sanctioned by the rest of the world, and therefore there isn't the demand for Iranian oil, and there's also not that level of investment that's been made in the country. In addition to oil supplies, Iran also has large reserves of natural gas. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that natural gas is really important all around the world because it's used as a way of producing electricity. It's a much cleaner form of fossil fuel to use to produce electricity. It gives off less emissions. And therefore, a lot of countries over the last 20 years or so have been moving towards natural gas. And it's also used by industry for industrial purposes and households for heating and cooking. So natural gas is a very popular fuel and demand has been rising over the last 20 years. Iran is in a very fortunate position of having one of the largest supplies of natural gas globally. Three countries hold over 50% of all of the natural gas in the world. Of the identified global reserves, Russia is sitting on around 20%, Iran has 17%, and Qatar has 13%. Fourth on the list is Turkmenistan with 7%, and the USA comes in at number 5 with just under 7%. So if you've been following the channel, you'll know that Russia has been monetizing its natural gas, and it's the largest supplier globally, and also is the biggest supplier to Europe. And that's one of the big challenges that Europe is facing right now, that Russia is threatening to switch off all of those gas supplies. And if it does so, it's going to cause huge problems in a lot of countries who've been depending on that supply. And as Europe now turns to the next best alternative, which is liquefied natural gas, the two countries that are being mentioned the most in terms of who can fill that supply gap are the USA and Qatar. So obviously Iran has not been mentioned. And the reason for that is because of the sanctions that are in place. If we look at the top 10 producers of natural gas, the USA ranks at the top of the list, producing over 900 billion cubic meters. Russia is second with over 630 billion cubic meters. And Iran is third on the list in terms of production, producing over 250 billion cubic meters per year. However, if you look at the consumption charts, it shows that Iran is using over 230 billion cubic meters each year. So essentially, it's using the vast majority of the gas that it's producing. So it's just producing gas for its own purposes. And the reason for that is because of the sanctions. Despite the fact that it has such large amounts of natural resources that are in high demand, Iran remains a net importer of goods. So if you follow the channel, we've been talking about other countries that are net importers, and the vast majority of those countries just don't have any natural resources, and therefore they have to buy in what they need in terms of energy and food. Iran has such a wealth of natural resources that you would have expected it to be a net exporter. However, the sanctions have meant that that just simply isn't the case. In 2020, the total amount of all goods exported amounted to around $46 billion. However, in the same year, the amount of imports were $58 billion. So Iran had a net trading deficit of around $12 billion. So as we've discussed before on the channel, if you're a net importer, then you have to find ways of funding that difference. It's very similar to your checking account. If you spend more than you're earning, then you're going to be running up a debt. And at some point, you need to find a way of funding that debt. And if we talk about prices and inflation, then as you would expect, as a country that is a net importer, inflation is currently running at very high rates. And the latest inflation figure for the past 12 months to April is 35.6% inflation. Now, with other countries that we've looked at that are net importers and have high rates of inflation, you might expect that the currency would start to suffer. But if we look at what's happened to the currency, you can see that it is an entirely managed position. The exchange rate of the Iranian rial against the US dollar has remained entirely flat at 42,000 rials to $1 since August 2018. So what that tells us is that the Central Bank of Iran is completely managing this situation. They are going into the international markets and buying rials at any time when there is pressure on the currency. So in the normal course of events, you would expect this exchange rate to be weakening. However, the Central Bank is making sure that there is absolutely no movement whatsoever in those exchange rates. However, the problem that the central bank has is that the international price, which is marked in dollars for a variety of items, including all of the food substances that Iran has to buy in, have been rising as a direct result of the war in Ukraine. So it doesn't really matter whether your exchange rate is remaining steady. If the prices are going up in dollars, that means that the actual prices are going up for everybody, including your population. The international sanctions against Iran date back to 1979, when the USA first imposed sanctions, and that was following the Iranian Revolution, when the American embassy in Tehran was stormed and a number of people were taken hostage. Those original sanctions were subsequently lifted. However, new sanctions were imposed against Iran all through the 80s by the Reagan and Carter regimes as a result of military and terrorist activity in the Persian Gulf through that era. In 1995, the Clinton presidency extended all of the sanctions against Iran as a direct result of their development of nuclear technology. It was rumoured that Iran was trying to develop nuclear weapons, and in response to that, the USA brought in wide-ranging sanctions, which meant that no further energy deals could be done. And this was the start of the major problems for Iran. In 2006, the United Nations, which is a group of 193 countries across the world, so essentially this is almost the entire world, brought in sanctions against Iran as it found that the government had failed to comply with nuclear weapon non-proliferation agreements. The sanctions introduced embargoes on materials used in the development of nuclear weapons, and those sanctions were further strengthened in 2007 and 2008. In 2010, the United Nations aligned with the US sanction program by targeting Iran's oil and financial services with new sanctions measures. Alongside the actions taken by the United Nations, the European Union also imposed sanctions that froze the assets of individuals associated with Iran's nuclear weapons program. And in 2010, they also aligned with the US program prohibiting trade with Iranian banks and financial institutions and restricting trade with a range of Iranian industrial sectors, including oil, gas, and petrochemicals. In 2015, a provisional agreement with Iran was reached regarding its nuclear weapons program, which was known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. And this agreement put in place a framework for lifting the majority of sanctions against Iran in return for various limits on Iran's nuclear programs that would last for at least 10 years. Following this agreement, most international sanctions against Iran were lifted in early 2016. And this made it easier for international investors and entrepreneurs to do business in Iran and allowed Iranian businesses to re-engage with the global financial system. However, in May 2018, the Trump presidency withdrew US support for this program and reintroduced sanctions against Iran in order to encourage the Iranian government to alter its Middle Eastern policy and to halt its development of ballistic missiles. At the start of 2021, the Biden presidency announced the possibility of lifting these sanctions if Iran achieved compliance with the terms of the agreement of 2015. And in June 2021, the US actually dropped some sanctions against Iran in what the Biden administration described as a good faith approach to the ongoing negotiations. Despite all of its natural resources, Iran is a poor country, and around 50% of the 82 million population are below the poverty line, or the bread line, as we could call it here. People living below the poverty line spend between 75 and 100% of all of their income on food. And as with a lot of other countries that we've followed on the channel, Wheat makes up a really important part of their diet because wheat is used to produce flour, and that flour makes bread, pasta, noodles, and couscous. Iran operates a subsidy system to keep the price of flour down and make sure that food is affordable for most people. Since the start of the war in Ukraine, the cost of this subsidized flour has increased dramatically for the Iranian authorities. Russia and Ukraine account for over 25% of all of the global export market for wheat. And the disruption to supply has sent the price of wheat soaring, and we've seen an increase of around 50% since the start of the war. As a direct result of this increasing price and cost burden, the Iranian authorities removed the wheat subsidy on the 1st of May. As a result of the removal of the subsidy, price of bread has now increased by around 300%. And this has now led to wide-scale protests and civil unrest in the country. But although bread is the main focus of the attention, the price of other food items are reported to be up more than 100%. Now, this isn't the first time that the people in Iran have been upset about price rises and shortages. In 2021, there were protests about shortages of water, and it was reported at that time that at least three people had died in those protests. And in 2019, subsidies were removed from gasoline prices, and the price increased dramatically, which caused widespread protests, and 230 people were reported to have been killed in those protests. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to make this episode because it highlights yet another country where we are seeing the impact of this war having direct consequences on people who live thousands of miles away who have probably never even heard of Ukraine. And the situation in Iran highlights the fact that there are a lot of people who are living at or close to the breadline all around the world. And these people just can't afford any significant increase in the price of the things that they are buying. And the thing that is the most basic food substance all around the world is wheat, because it's used to make those basic staples like bread, pasta, and noodles. And as soon as we see a big increase in the price of wheat, it feeds through to all of those items. And because the poor people are spending the vast majority of their income on food, they are the ones who are suffering most. And as we've seen with other countries, it's food that's really triggering the protests. So increases in the price of oil obviously feed through into the global economy. It costs us more to fill up our vehicles. It will cost more in terms of transport costs. And that will feed through into the price of everything, because most goods need to be transported, and therefore those transport costs make up the overall cost of what you're buying. And so we're seeing a lot of inflation. But inflation is one thing, but not being able to buy food, either because you can't afford it or there's an absolute shortage, means that you need to do something immediately about that situation. This isn't a situation where people are going to write an email or post a review or some sort of complaint onto a website. This is a very real concern that if you don't have enough food to feed your family, you need to go out onto the streets and do something about it. And that's what we've seen happening in other countries already, and Iran is the latest on the list. And Iran is a very unusual situation because we've got a country here that is actually asset rich. It's got a lot of resources that the rest of the world wants to buy. It's got huge amounts of natural gas and massive oil reserves. But because of the sanctions that have been applied against Iran, they can't monetize those assets because nobody wants to buy them from them. And this is a really interesting comparison when you look at what's happening with Russia right now. So as you all know, Russia has a variety of sanctions against it from most of the Western world. And the commentary that you hear repeatedly is that that won't affect Russia because they can just find new markets. They'll sell it to China and the rest of Asia and they'll be entirely unaffected. But that's not really worked for Iran. Iran have faced a problem of being able to monetize their assets. And there is a real possibility here that Russia could find itself in a very similar situation. The US is exerting a lot of pressure onto China to comply with the sanctions against Russia. And if this war goes on for much longer and more countries decide that they no longer want to trade with Russia, they may find their markets narrowing and find that their revenues start to fall. The other issue that Russia is facing is with regards to technology and partnerships. So one of the problems that Iran has had over the last 20 years is that it hasn't been able to attract in overseas investment, and it hasn't had the technology to be able to develop all of its oil and natural gas fields. And there's a strong possibility that Russia could find itself in a very similar situation. It no longer has the opportunity of working with the oil majors from the US and the Western world. And those guys have cutting-edge technology. And without that technology, Russia may find that it becomes less efficient, that it can't draw out as much oil that it wants, and therefore the amount of production starts to fall. So there are some really interesting lessons that we can learn from what's happened in Iran that could well apply themselves to Russia going forward. But coming back to the issue of food, what the Iranian population are finding right now is that they just can't afford to buy all of the food that they need. So something needs to be done about that. Either the Iranian authorities are going to have to reinstate the subsidy on flour to make it affordable for everybody, or they're going to have to find some other way out of this crisis. Because as it stands right now, the people of Iran are very unhappy. They've started protesting. It could lead to rioting. And the problem that the Iranian authorities have is that they are now on the verge of being able to get some of the sanctions against them lifted. But some of those sanctions were applied because of human rights issues. And if the watching world sees new human rights issues occurring because of these protests, then that could set Iran back. And it's interesting that reports coming out of Iran right now say that a lot of the internet has been affected and disrupted and switched off to stop social media, to stop people being able to talk to each other, but also stop reporting directly to the Western world. So we are unable at the moment to see a lot of things that are being posted by Iranians. So nobody really knows what's happening, but it will be very interesting to see how things develop over the next few weeks. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. We are so close now. We are very, very close to 4,000 watch hours. If you've got a spare 5 minutes, please jump over to the channel, watch one or two of the videos and help us get to that magical 4,000 hour mark. And then when we get there, we can then start this experiment for real. So if you've been thinking about making a video or you've started making a video, now's the time to jump onto that, start polishing it up, get it to the best possible format you can, have a start, a middle and an end, have an overriding theme and make sure it's the sort of thing that you would like to watch on YouTube, because that's the bottom line. People need to watch the videos for you to make any money. So you need to make something that is slightly commercial that you think other people might be interested in watching. So keep doing that, and then once you're ready, message me and we'll work out a way to get that video onto the channel, and let's see if we can get some superstars of the future out of this experiment. So thanks very much for watching this part of the video, and thanks for watching this entire video all the way to the end. You are hardcore and I really, really appreciate it.